Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Warriors This Week. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play smart, play at Oaks.
Why not? Here's Steph Curry!
Now, here's Sean Dickinson.
And Whitey Gleason here on a Saturday. It's John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason. We may need, as our buddy Jim Cosimore will often do, we may need an on-air production meeting where we actually get some appropriate liners made for this show. It's just John Dickinson.
Right.
It's John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason with Warriors This Week for the next 4 hours right here on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors, boy, there's one thing we know this team can do. The 2019-20 Warriors, and that is handle the Chicago Bulls. The Dubs getting it done again
last
night.
It's in their DNA. It's in their organizational DNA, right?
The Warriors beat the Bulls for the second time in 9 nights.
Yes. Thank you for having me here today. I just want to make sure you, JD, and Joe, and Arden, everyone have their jerseys tucked in before we get started?
Yeah.
We good?
I always come in untucked. Yeah. But I tuck it quickly
Before
enough.
Before the show starts, you got to tuck it in.
Yeah, you got to tuck it in. Boy, did you see Jordan Bell last night? The former Warrior, and that is probably, and we'll explain it, but it was kind of a wild night of NBA action last night. None wilder than in Oklahoma City, where Jordan Bell is kind of a classic Jordan Bell move. He's a guy that didn't have his jersey tucked in a lot.
He's probably gotten away with that many, many times.
He went to check in late with, Karl Anthony Towns on the free throw line trying to ice the game. So Minnesota's up by a point, and Karl Anthony Towns, they were up two, right? Or no? Yeah, they were up two.
Well, I think they were up one, and he
made the first free throw.
Yeah.
And so the Timberwolves are up two. Karl Anthony Towns has got one more free throw remaining. Jordan Bell is subbed into the game, and he doesn't have his shirt tucked in. And Chris Paul, who's just, noted heel, Chris Paul, right? But stickler for accuracy, he is. He's yelling at Scott Foster, the official. Hey, he's got that's a delay of game. It's a delay of game. He's not ready to play. He doesn't have his shirt tucked in. Well, a delay of game is ruled against the Timberwolves and Jordan Bell, and it was the second delay of game for Minnesota in the game, so it resulted in a technical foul.
Yeah.
So Oklahoma City winds up getting
1.1 seconds left.
Yeah. They make up the point, so it's a 1-point game. Karl Anthony Towns tries to miss the second free throw, but makes it.
Yeah, it rattles around off the glass and goes in,
so,
I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Two-point lead at that point for the Timberwolves, and then Steven Adams essentially connects on a Hail Mary to Dennis Schroeder, who lays it in with Jeff Teague draped all over him, and the game goes into overtime, and Oklahoma City winds up just running them out in OT and wins the game by double digits.
Unbelievable. Two teams that are still battling potentially for a postseason position.
Yeah, and a huge win for the Thunder
as
they improved to 9-12 and now are a game back of Minnesota in eighth and a game back of Phoenix in seventh. Boy, remember when the Western Conference was supposed to be loaded?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The West is loaded. It's, if you're the Warriors coming into this season, can you win those 48 games that it's going to take to get into the playoffs? Right now, it would take about 37 or 38.
Yeah, Dallas is number two right now, aren't they?
Yeah, Dallas all the way up to 15-6, and they're a team that was on the outside looking in. But, boy, Luka Doncic has been terrific. They are second in the West. Nobody beats the Lakers.
By the way,
anymore.
When Jordan Bell entered that game, Chris Paul loudly alerted Scott Foster, "Jersey out, his jersey's out! That's delay of game!" And Foster notices and calls the whistle for delay of game. Chris Paul says, "Damn right!" And did you see Ryan Saunders, the look on his face?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
What just happened?
Exactly.
My coaching life is flashing before my eyes.
And again, at times, if there's one criticism you could make of Jordan Bell, even during his time with the Warriors, it's just not mentally locked in and ready to go. And, he would routinely get up and you know, jersey would come untucked mid play. Jersey would be untucked. I mean, it's actually that's kind of an issue that Jordan Bell has had throughout his career, with specifically with not having the jersey ready.
Do you remember a guy on the Miami Heat, I think their first year, and I think his name was Craig Neff. And legend has it that one game, you know, the Heat and the Hornets and the Timberwolves and the Magic all entered the league at about the same time. And they, you know, you can imagine you add four teams at once. Those teams were not very good. But Craig Neff, according to legend, he's got his warm-up pants on, and he comes into the game, and he takes his warm-up pants off to go into the game, and he doesn't have his shorts on.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
You should be thrown out for that.
So,
not only should that be delay a game. So it could have been worse for Jordan Bell, but this loss could be one, obviously, that haunts the Timberwolves, who are still battling and for what would be playoff position.
Yeah, it's an ugly, ugly, ugly muck at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff picture. The one thing we do know, though, is the Warriors are even removed from that conversation at this point, although they did pick up win number 5 last night.
They picked up ground, yeah, in the West.
And avoided an 0-5 road trip. They beat the Bulls for the second time in a week and a half as they head back from Chicago. They got the weekend off before taking on the Memphis Grizzlies and the New York Knicks coming up at Chase Center on Monday and Wednesday.
And it was just a fun game to watch. It was not a flawless game by either team, but it had a nice flow. There were a lot of exciting plays. There were good plays. There were bad plays. And I was trying to figure out why that was, because the Warriors have had some games on this trip that were like being at a friend's funeral for their pet or something, you know, kind of awkward and sad. And like, why am I here? It's just been a difficult watch at times. Last night, the Warriors played with purpose. And I think, and I'm not making excuses because there are none, but I think one of the things that happens with the Warriors and with players in and out and injured, I think some of those games, the Warriors, they wanted to play hard, but they didn't know what they were doing. How does this all supposed to fit? How am I supposed to play with these guys? I think we even saw that a little bit when Draymond and D'Angelo Russell came back against Charlotte. They looked tentative, right? But last night they played with a purpose.
Yeah, and they just played more forcefully. They played more aggressively, defensively, I thought, than they had. And
yeah,
it just, you know, it, for the first time really this year, and look, I think, you know, Warriors fans are smart enough to know, and we all can, you know, see in the media what, you know, what's going on, the situation that this team is in with all of the injuries and being shorthanded, having 8-9 players for really the entire month of November. And it's just been a struggle. But the one thing that has happened is the Warriors have been relatively competitive, all things considered. Whether they've been playing good teams or maybe teams with a similar record to them, they've been competitive. They've been in the games. And I think it led you to think coming into this week, hey, there's some winnable games.
And I think it led them to think that.
And I think that's the thing that you have to wonder. So for the first time this year, coming off the Orlando game, which is one of those competitive games against a team that was struggling, although the Magic are all the way up to 11-11. They've actually won 4 in a row, and they're having a pretty good week to get back into the playoff race in the Eastern Conference. But you're thinking, okay, you're going to Atlanta, a team that's lost 10 in a row. You're playing Charlotte, a team that's really young and struggling and not expected to do much. There for the first time was a belief that this Warriors team wasn't maybe maximizing what they had. And I think that's where you got to be careful, because as much as competitive losses are going to be enough, I think, for a majority of the fan base, if you get too far off the rails to a point where you start to go through long stretches where you can't beat a Chicago or a Charlotte or a Memphis or an Atlanta that's lost 10 in a row and given up 119, 120 points a game, you get to a point where it just starts to, the whole vibe starts to suffer from it. And what are competitive losses become non-competitive losses, and you start to look around and think, well, wait a minute, what is there actually to be of benefit for this team moving forward? You win a game like last night, and the manner by which the Warriors do it, and it helps boost that conversation back the other way. So I think just the importance of getting a few wins, and I think, you know, the Warriors have 5. They probably, you know, could have maybe 7. And you'd feel even a little bit better about it, and they'd still be in the same mixed draft position-wise. But just to be able to get that one win to kind of calm everything down and refocus things, I think, was important last night.
Last night it started with defense for the Warriors, and Glenn Robinson III did a fine job on Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine, who'd scored 25 or more in 4 straight games. last night. As you may know, he finished with 22 points. He was 8 of 20. He struggled. But I will say this about Zach LaVine. End of the game, he took a three-point shot that could have won the game. GR3 defended him well, and he missed it, and the Warriors win. But not every player in the NBA will take that shot. And Zach LaVine this year has assumed that responsibility. And he's talked about how, I want to go down swinging. I'm going to take that shot. And doesn't always go in, but you know that. You've seen it. And it's not every player in the NBA that wants to take that shot. And, yeah, he took it, and he missed it, and he didn't have a great shooting game. But I think it's admirable anytime you have a guy who is willing to be that guy in that situation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Warriors knew he was going to be that guy, and I think Glenn Robinson knew he was going to be that guy. And the one thing, you know,
I thought he was a little upset when they called timeout because he's like, "Hey, I got this.
I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Yeah."
And so, you know, the big takeaway from last night is we start to piece together, you know, just what's relevant and what's not from these individual Warriors games. You know, seeing Glenn Robinson III defend a player of that ilk that believes that he's a big-time shot maker, you know, Glenn Robinson III, it's time to start maybe taking a look at him as far as where he fits in this puzzle that is,
I agree,
the Warriors beyond the 2019 and 20 season. Is he somebody that suddenly becomes, you know, maybe not your primary starting small forward, but somebody that could be a part of a rotation that could play 20 minutes a game at the small forward or even the two guard position? Now, you and I disagree a little bit there, and a lot of it is positionless at this point. But Glenn Robinson III is somebody that, you know, he's not the youngest player in terms of experience, been in the league now, what, 5 years, 6 years? But he's somebody that is maybe having a career year for the Warriors and putting himself in position to be a part of something bigger going forward.
He's athletic. He's a very willing defender. Steve Kerr said last night that we've had Glenn Robinson on our the other team's best player all season long. If he can continue to make his threes, there's definitely a spot for him. A guy who's going to guard people, who can play a couple positions and knock down threes. Yeah, just about any team is going to be able to find a spot for a guy like that.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors This Week. John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason. We're here until 1 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. The Warriors winning last night as they get it done against the Chicago Bulls in Chi-Town. 100-98 the final. So the Warriors, they 9 of the last 11 away from Chase Center. Now they're going to come home. And the Warriors are in a position where they got, three of the next four at Chase Center, and then they go up to Portland, and then they have a five-game homestand. So a lot of home games coming up for the Warriors between now and the end of December.
And speaking of Portland, they lost to the Lakers, no surprise, but they also lost Rodney Hood last night. So do you think that increases the chances that Kevin Love, who apparently is being shot by the Cavs, or at least they say we're listening to offers, does Rodney Hood's injury increase the chances that Kevin Love will return home to Portland?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Kevin Love. I don't know about the fit necessarily there. I mean, we are starting to get to the point where you know, teams are figuring out whether they're going to be in it or out of it, the old buy or sell kind of a routine. And I wonder, maybe not as it pertains to Kevin Love, but one thing you got to consider with the Warriors right now is, you know, do they find themselves in a position where they want to buy at this point? You know, it's buy or sell, trade deadline coming up. And look, we're still 2 months away from the trade deadline. But Kevin Love's going to wind up somewhere. Not saying he's necessarily a fit for the Warriors, but
I think,
you know,
he would be in terms of his game, but in every other aspect, it's pretty iffy.
Well, I mean, he makes a similar amount of money to D'Angelo Russell.
For a long time, though, and he's older.
And he's older, and yeah, I think he's, what, $28 million-ish now. He goes up to 31 for a couple of years, and then he's got even a third year beyond this year where he goes right back down to make the same salary that he is, around 28, you know, moving forward. But he's going to wind up somewhere, although I don't know necessarily that the team that acquires him, I mean, it's going to be a hell of a commitment to want a 34-year-old, let's say Kevin Love, making $28 to $30 million.
Mm-hmm. Phoenix Suns, maybe?
Maybe.
Utah Jazz, maybe? Boston Celtics, maybe?
Possibly. I just, yeah. I'm just not sure. I think the Celtics actually like their team once they're healthy. I know, you know, Kemba Walker had to miss a couple of games, and
they
have Gordon Hayward's been out.
They've expressed interest in him in recent seasons. Doesn't mean they still have interest.
Yeah, so I think they kind of like what they have going there. I mean, Portland, you could make a case, has already sort of made their move of, I don't want to say desperation in Carmelo Anthony, although Carmelo Anthony's helped them. They may need to do more just based on the fact that they still find themselves, although playing a little bit better, they're right there, 9-14 with the Spurs as a team on the outside looking into the playoff picture.
The only way the Kevin Love move would make sense to me as far as Portland is concerned is if they thought they could get back to where they were last year, and I don't think that he would do that for them.
No, they're kind of in the mode now of...
They're getting old.
They're in the mode now of really try to suck it up and be the 7 seed. I think them and San Antonio both are in a similar position. You look at the 7 and the 8 seeds, and it's Phoenix and Minnesota, and those are two teams that were down at the bottom of the conference last year, and you know, Phoenix just stunk, and Minnesota was a major disappointment. So maybe Minnesota's playing better, you know, closer to their actual level, right around 500 or slightly below. But I think if you're both of those teams, Portland and San Antonio, you're thinking even at 9-14, you could probably get into the playoffs, but there's no doubt you're not a championship caliber team anymore. And I don't think either one of those teams really is one move away from being a championship caliber team.
Yeah, because whoever comes in eighth, if the playoffs started today, would have to play the Lakers, who are 20-3 and are on pace to win, what, 70 games this year?
And they've won 11 straight road games, and the one road game they lost was the game against the Clippers at Staples Center. So they haven't lost a game outside of Staples Center. They have two home losses at Staples Center and one road loss at Staples Center, and they've won 11 consecutive road games. And honestly, I know, you know, Portland is down, but you know, when the Warriors, gosh, next year when they think they're going to be good again, they're going to have to be dealing with something they haven't dealt with, and that's an actual formidable Lakers team potentially, depending upon what happens, and you know, maybe even a Lakers team that's a defending champ. Believe it or not, for the first time in a decade.
Should we just skip the playoffs and have the Bucks and the Lakers play in the finals? Should we skip straight through to that?
I think the Clippers are on the phone in the Western Conference. I think the Celtics are on the phone in the Eastern Conference. Beyond that, though, I'm not sure, and I think there's some that might even say, well, if you're going to include the Celtics, John Dickinson, you might as well include Miami, Toronto, and Philly as well.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see Dallas and the Lakers in a playoff series. I think the Lakers would handle them. I think there's a chance it would go six, and I think it would produce some very memorable moments. But it's not even Christmas yet, so I'm guilty of getting ahead of myself. I do want to point out that John Dickinson guaranteed the Warrior victory last night. He is 1-0 in Warrior guaranteed victory games. Are you yet ready to guarantee a victory over Memphis or the Knicks this coming week?
I am not.
Okay.
At this point, however, I am inclined. I mean, the Warriors could actually be looking at a winning streak.
What?
They could be looking at a winning streak. I mean, again, it's you hesitate to say, you know, winnable games, but I mean, Memphis is going to be without Ja Morant, right, in that game, and the Knicks just fired David Fizdale, which may make them a more difficult opponent. I'm not totally sure.
Mike Miller got called up from their G League team.
Yeah, and he's
not
gonna,
the Mike Miller that not, used
not,
to play.
Yeah, not Mike Miller knocking down threes for the Heat team that won the championship, and with Orlando and Memphis and other teams before that. Not that Mike Miller, a different Mike Miller, but he's going to be coaching the Knicks when the Knicks are at Chase Center on Wednesday night. So yeah, the Warriors with a couple of winnable games over the course of the next week at home, where they've been far more competitive. There really haven't been too many ugly games at Chase Center for the Warriors in the early going. Maybe the ugliest night of all was the game against Phoenix, where Stephen Curry got hurt and the Suns were just throttling them.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, they got off to a halfway decent start, but they've lost 8 of their last 10. They are on the road this year. Well, actually, they're 3-5 on the road, which isn't bad, but they've lost 2 in a row. And the Knicks are 1-9 on the road this
year. And breaking news, the one thing that the Warriors' victory last night did is it got the Warriors for the first time in a while out of the cellar in the NBA. The Warriors had been the worst team in the league for really close to a month And now they are up to 5-19. And the one thing you're starting to see, the Knicks have passed them in terms of, you know, the number one slot. Although, again, the bottom three teams in the league equally split the lottery odds. So right now that would be what the Warriors would be in that mix, with the Knicks and the Hawks would still be in that mix. So
14%
chance. Yeah, those three teams would split.
And fourth would get like a 12.5% chance.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point in time, it looks like that would be what the Cavaliers, and the Cavaliers already tuning out John Beilein potentially.
That didn't take long.
They're going in the wrong direction. And they were actually, 4-5, I think, in the early going of the season. But they've lost 9 out of 10 and 5 in a row. And
isn't that the first thing you think of if you're hiring a coach who's been a college coach forever? That's like the first thing you want to make sure doesn't happen, right? Is you want to make sure that it doesn't come in with a bunch of college rah-rah that players are going to tune out, right?
Yeah.
You want to make sure, you got to be aware, huh, that could happen. Well, we have every reason to believe it won't. And it's early December, and that's already happening. That's incredible to me.
Yeah, and it's Shams Charania of The Athletic reporting, and he had unnamed players saying, hey, the assistant coaches are more prepared for the NBA than the head coach there, and I guess some of the film sessions have been a little bit longer than guys are used to. And so that looked like that was an awkward fit to begin with. I do think John Beilein's a good coach, but that was an awkward fit to begin with, and now it's just...
He's supposed to be a real offensive innovator.
Looks like it's turned into a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, it does. And I just, if it's that bad, I can't imagine... it's hard for me to imagine that the Cavs didn't see that coming before they hired him.
Knicks, full-blown mess.
Dumbfounded.
Hawks, highly disappointing. The Cavs look like a mess. The Bulls, to me, are a flat-out mess, although they had actually won a couple of games in between the two times that they played the Warriors, and the Warriors were able to beat them.
You know, do you agree with this? To me, the Bulls are facing the same reality that the Kings may be facing. And that reality, I think it's true for the Bulls, it may be true for the Kings, we'll see. And it's that the guys they brought in to be their foundational pieces
maybe aren't good enough to be stars.
Yes, yes.
They're not good enough to work. Boy, that those two or three players, and De'Aaron Fox and Bagley in the case of the Kings have been
right,
out.
Right, that's why
really.
I say you really can't say that yet.
So it's tough to, and if anything, their lesser players or their role players have actually held them up to a certain extent. I know they're 8-13, and Chicago at this point is 8-15 after they lost to the Warriors. So, I think it could be the fact that, hey, you've got some nice players, but a group of nice players and some role players without the elite of the elite talent
doesn't get you
that only
you
gets
to
you
get
maybe
to
the mid-30s.
Yeah.
As far as kind of topping out. Maybe mm-hmm. that 35-36 range, which is exactly where you don't want to be in today's NBA. And the guy who's most famously spoken out about not wanting to be in that position is Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And you look at, I think Atlanta is actually another team you could maybe put in that category. Like, Trae Young's really good, and they lost John Collins. And they have some other young players that they think are building block pieces, but are any of them going to be a star other than Trae Young? And is Trae Young going to be a star to where he just immediately elevates you to a point where you're contending for a playoff spot? I don't know. The one thing we know about Luka Doncic is that guy, because he is maybe the best player in the league in the first month plus of the season, definitely in November, and he is holding them up to a standard of 15-6 to begin the year. He's terrific, and he is what some of the other guys on those other teams are not, at least at this point in their career.
Speaking of bad teams and their playoff chances, the Pelicans now, they're only 2 games ahead of the Warriors. They're 6-16.
Wow.
They've lost 7 in a row. I know they have Zion coming back at some point, but are they still a team that has a shot?
I mean, I would have said yes, and actually did say yes, within maybe the last 2 weeks on this show. I see a lot of talent there. It seems like this, every year with them, it's something. And I know a couple of years ago they got it together, and with, DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, they wound up getting it together and made the playoffs and won the series against Portland and really pushed the Warriors to the limit. So it was interesting, but every year it seems like it's the same kind of issue for them, that there's injuries and they're just terrible defensively. And I just start to wonder about Alvin Gentry almost every year. Now, he winds up keeping his job, and I think his teams wind up being respectable. But, man, It just at some point, I think push has to come to shove there, right? Maybe with Alvin Gentry. Not saying it's necessarily his fault, but I mean, to your point, they're 6-16. I don't think they should be that bad in this Western Conference. This is not a good Western Conference right now. The sixth seed right now is 12-10 in the Utah Jazz, who people believe was, you know, they were going to be even far better than that.
Yeah, I think you need look no further than back to their last loss. They lost to the Suns 139-132. So they scored 132 and they lost by 7.
Yeah.
So they are just don't guard anybody, and it's hard to get anything established, gain any traction when you have no defensive integrity.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Call of the game is coming up here at 9:30. If you know the call of the game from last night and the Warriors win over the Bulls, you could win some money. To Schroeder's here in San Francisco. Andrew Lopez is going to join us coming up in the next segment. Gary St. Jean, 10:30. Mark Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated in the 12 o'clock hour. It's John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason, Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, and you at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's time now for the call of the game. Be caller 3 right now, 888-957-9570. And if you can correctly identify the call of the game from last night's Warriors win over the Bulls, you can win $50 to Schroeder's in San Francisco. So right now, caller 3. We will see if you can correctly identify the call of the game.
By the way, I have a tip for you if you are a real basketball nerd. And, you know, a lot of this year for Warrior fans is about figuring out who they may draft and scouting players that they may draft. Well, a couple of prospects are more difficult to watch because LaMelo Ball and R.J. Hampton are playing overseas. They're playing in Australia's National Basketball League. It turns out there's an app. You can download the NBL app. Australia's League is the NBL app.
You're a big fan of that app.
Yes, I am.
You were downloading it the other night, and we were in here doing the post-game show after the Hornets game.
So you can find the NBL app and download that, and my understanding is that's the only way you can see all of the games day and under, including the games at LaMelo Ball and R.J. Hampton are playing. And the Warriors apparently are interested in both.
Yeah,
have some level of interest in both players.
And some, I've you know, just talking to people and kind of reading the tea leaves, there are some that believe the Warriors are really interested in LaMelo Ball.
I can see why.
They view him as a maybe potential fit.
6'7" point guard. I mean, what's not to like
and,
there?
You know, passes the ball defensively, could be pretty good. So, yeah.
Questions about his dedication and his jump shot. We'll figure all that out.
All right, call the game coming up here momentarily, but first let's get to Charlie. Charlie in New York City joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, the difference between the Knicks and the Warriors, the Knicks aren't even being competitive. I think they're on pace for their worst season ever. That team is a three-legged dog with fleas. So at least with the Warriors, they're losing, but they're being competitive, which I hope going into next year with potential free agents, they will look at that and say, well, this team still, you know, they're not in as bad a shape as people might think. I read something online though, which I found interesting is that they're referring to this year with the Warriors as a gap year.
Yes.
For the team. And that some other teams' front offices are actually a little worried about the Warriors next year because they're going to have a potential, on likelihood, a top five pick, and that going forward, you know, whether they keep the pick, trade the pick, bring in another superstar, that and I, like I said to you guys last week, I think with Glenn Robinson and my man crush on Kai Bowman, I think they're going to have one of the strongest benches I've had in the last, you know, 8-9 years. So with all that being said, I just find it interesting that teams are still worried about the Warriors, even though they're taking quote-unquote gap year. And finally, just to throw that out there, Chris Paul is such a Richard. I If you had told me, if you said to me, which player in the Oklahoma would call Jordan Bell on that, I would have said immediately Chris Paul.
Or just which player in the league, if you took all the other 29 teams.
Yeah, absolutely. He is a Richard Squared. All right, guys. Listen, next 4 hours.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Appreciate the call there. Yeah, look.
I would want a guy on my team doing that.
I actually probably would be the guy that would do that.
Yeah, I think you would be.
Hey, we don't play like that out here.
You'd go over and pull it out and then you'd, say, hey, it's jersey
tuck
out.
That shirt in, dude, yeah. Jordan Bell.
Yeah.
You got to be ready to play at this level.
To Charlie's point about the Knicks, Fizdale just fired, and he wasn't there long, but he had the lowest winning percentage of any coach in Knicks history.
I don't know what to make of him, because I thought he was a pretty sharp candidate when he went to Memphis, and they actually were decent early going in his tenure there, and then things kind of fell apart, and they had injuries and a different vision, I think, with ownership and him, and it didn't work out. He goes to the Knicks. I'm thinking, all right, that is going to be tough for him because it's the Knicks.
I don't know how anybody could have made that work, the current situation.
I know players really like him.
Yeah.
Players really like him and stick up for him. And
maybe he should be an assistant.
But I'm not sure what to make. I don't want to say he's a fraud necessarily. I don't want to put him in that category yet. And the Knicks situation certainly wouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's fair to judge based on that mess.
But I gotta at least throw him in the pool where I don't know.
He goes in there thinking, okay, we're gonna get KD.
Well, is he gonna get a third? Like, and that's the other thing is he gonna get a third job?
No, he may be the Hugh Jackson of the NBA at this point. Like, I think we've seen enough, fairly or unfairly.
All right, let's get to call the game here. Matt in Mill Valley is the correct caller. Matt, let's see if you can win $50 to Schroeder's. Matt, can you correctly identify last night's call of the game?
I think so.
All right, what do you got?
Oh, you know, I think I'm confused on how this game works. I thought you were going to give me multiple choice.
No, Matt, you're
nice
willing
try.
To take a shot. I mean, you are the correct caller, so you get a shot at it. Can you name the play from last night's game? We're going to give you an opportunity here.
Man, I appreciate it, but I only caught the highlights on. You know, I didn't have the time to watch the whole game, so let's let someone else give it a shot.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Matt comes in with his jersey on.
Let's Bedoni in there. Let's play the call of the game last night, Matt.
Russell, guarded by Dunn. Double, in trouble.
Easy.
Pass inside. Draymond got it, and it's a dunk for Robinson. 100-98, Warriors lead by two. We got less than a minute to go. 57 seconds.
Of all the calls of the
game,
it was the winning basket. 100-98. It was Russell to Draymond to Glenn Robinson III, and it had many just reminiscing of the days of Stephen Curry to Draymond to Andre Iguodala in the dunker spot.
Now, let's just say, and Matt, thank you for listening, but let's say somebody pulled, let's just call it a Matt. Let's say I tried to pull a Matt, okay, and I didn't see the game.
Right.
But I
know the Warriors won the game by two.
So if I say, hey, it was the winning basket, you probably wouldn't allow that, would you? Wouldn't you need a little
maybe.
More?
It depends on, I don't know. Probably would need a little bit more.
It was the winning basket. Yeah, you need a little more.
Yeah, who, and you know, at least a who.
Yeah.
At least a who.
It was that dunk.
It was that dunk by Glenn Robinson.
Dunk or shot.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, we appreciate Matt. It rolls over to Tuesday. So Monday night's game, Tuesday morning with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. So the next pot will be for $100 to Schroeder's following the game on Monday night.
I know we're talking about the Warriors here, but we were just talking about the Knicks. Why would you take the Knicks coaching job right now? And I know they got a coach, but let's say they decide they want to hire somebody else and Mike Miller's an interim guy. Look at how many things you have going against you. And it shouldn't be that way. It's New York, but look how many things you have going against you.
Yeah, well, you know what? That could be the first question for our first guest on the program today. Joining us now, NBA reporter for ESPN, Andrew Lopez joins us on 95.7 The Game. Andrew, thanks a lot for coming on. We really appreciate it. And, yeah, why would anybody take the Knicks job at this stage?
It baffles me. I mean, maybe you want to get paid for, a year of work or – for 4 years, you get 4 years of work for a year and a half, whatever David Fizdale got. That seems to be pretty much the only good reason, I think,
to go to New York with the setup that they have right now.
At any point, Andrew, do you think they will have a true clean slate? Because I think that, I mean, that's been the thing, right? There's just almost too many chefs in the kitchen, and it's all obviously under James Dolan. But I mean, what do they have to do to clean that up?
I mean, at the risk of not being able to go to Madison Square Garden, I think it's James Dolan has to sell the team. I think that's one of the things I've heard. You know, they can make all the changes in the world with president and things like that, but it seems like as long as Dolan is making decisions, it's going to be hard. I don't see it like he can say he's not, but as long as he has his hand in whatever they want to do, it's just going to be a hard thing to do. I don't see. I mean, they can go out and get whoever they want to run the front office. They can go out and get whoever they want to coach. It's not going to work, I think, until there's changes structurally at the top.
Andrew Lopez, nice enough to join us, ESPN NBA reporter. Andrew, we have the Knicks at the bottom of the East and the Warriors at the bottom of the West. One of the things that we're hearing here is that GMs around the league are very wary of the Warriors next year. They have a high draft pick, presumably, and they have Klay coming back and Steph coming back and a trade exception. To what extent are other GMs around the league going, oh my goodness, watch out for the Warriors next year?
It's every time I remember they've already come to New Orleans, I think twice already. And kind of what people have been talking about is next year's going to be bad. Like, it could be a start of something else. I mean, obviously they have Steph coming back. They're going to have Klay coming back. Draymond's going to be, you know, have shooters around him again. And then you add what? A James Wiseman to that? A Cole Anthony? Whoever you want? I mean, LaMelo Ball? I mean, you can add any of those top guys to that roster. They don't have to have the pressure of performing. And then they can go out and relax and really be a top three, top five guy surrounded by talent. I think it's really scary what you can do. And that's, you know, if you keep D'Angelo Russell, if you trade D'Angelo Russell for something else, there's a lot that you can do. And I think other GMs are kind of wary of it. And I think that's why you're going to see this year is a big push for teams to kind of go out and get the issue. That's why the Lakers made the push. I think see teams in the East that put all because they know this is the chance because we don't know what's going to happen next year.
Andrew Lopez, our guest here on 95.7 The Game. But from your view, and look, the Warriors are going to have a lot of options, which we've all laid out here. One of those options could be waiting for the next disgruntled star that says, I want out of my situation and I want to go to, you know, potential place X or Y, a la maybe an Anthony Davis, what he was able to do in getting out of New Orleans and go to the Lakers. How much of that is on people's radar in your mind? And do you think that could be the quickest course of action for the Warriors to get back closer to the top? We're losing Andrew there. We'll go ahead and put Andrew on hold. We'll try and reconnect with him here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, his phone's breaking up a little bit there, calling us from the Bayou country, where you're headed, right?
Yeah, right, for 49ers and Saints tomorrow here. Yeah, so that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point he makes that whoever comes in next year, presuming that the Warriors do get one of the top three picks, you look at New Orleans, Zion Williamson, who hasn't played yet because of he hurt his knee. He's basically being counted on to be the franchise, right? And the Warriors would be in a situation where they bring in a young player and he doesn't have that kind of pressure put on him initially.
Let's check back in with Andrew Lopez, NBA reporter for ESPN. Andrew, we lost connection with you right as you were about to answer there. Just how much is a star potentially on the radar? And I know everybody out here says Giannis, and I kind of tamp that down. Like, that doesn't seem realistic, but in your mind, maybe how realistic is a star, and what stars would be on your short list of hey, keep an eye on them because they may find themselves in a position where they want to go elsewhere?
You know, I think a lot of guys right now are thinking, no matter what contract somebody's on in the NBA, everybody's basically on 1 or 2 year deals. That's how you have to look at it. If a star like Anthony Davis can force his way out with 18 months left on his contract, if Paul George can get out of Oklahoma City with 2+1 or wherever he's at, you have to be able to, you know, think that somebody can force their way out. I know it's a lot of money right now, but a guy like Kevin Love seems to make sense, or for a guy who can space the floor out there. I think some contenders may try to go for him for this year, so I don't know if he'll be in that bucket. But really, I think we learned last year, when a guy like Paul George out of nowhere gets out of Oklahoma City and goes to the Clippers, you don't really know who can be the guy to force their way out. You know, if something goes sour with Jimmy Butler in Miami, does he want out? If there's just so many different guys now that are going to be looking for that way to get a championship right away, that I think you really kind of just have your head on a swivel if you're the Warriors, and you got to try to figure out, all right, look, let's see who we can go all in on right now.
Andrew, you mentioned Kevin Love. Does Rodney Hood's injury, I know they don't play the same position, but does Rodney Hood's injury increase the chances of Kevin Love going home to Portland?
You know, Portland is in the chance right now, man. I know they're in the lower part of the Western Conference, but, I mean, that's 3 years, $90 million that you need to take on right there. You have a ton of injuries. I think if you're going to get with Melo and K-Love don't really fit. Mm-hmm. I think on the offensive end, I think you'd be a little bit of a defensive liability. But if again, any team that really wants to make that push, you know, you look at a team like Denver who's trying to make a splash. You look at, you know, Portland could be in it. I know Woj mentioned Portland the other night. So it seems like it would be a fit, but you'd have to get some pieces moving around there.
Do you think Portland is finally maybe painted themselves into a little bit of a corner, and injuries are tough, and obviously, you know, the Nurkic injury, is, you know, going back to last March was key, but have they finally kind of painted themselves into a corner where they may have to look at splitting up Lillard and McCollum, if even though they make the playoffs this year, which I still think they can make the playoffs at the bottom of the West, but do they find themselves in a spot where this might have to be the year that could be the only way they actually wind up getting better, especially if they end up trying to take on more salary in other places?
Yeah, you look at it almost like how the Thunder were last year, where you thought Westbrook and Paul George were going to be this thing, and they ended up, you know, with another early exit. It didn't work out for them. So it may be a situation where, look, this is the time. You gave it years. The Dame CJ experience did not net you a trip to the finals. It's hard to say. And at 9 and 14 right now, I think they are. You really got to have to look in the mirror and say if we got to make changes and getting off of CJ's contract. Obviously, I don't think you're going to get Dame out of there. Dame is
sure.
Like he's solid to be a trailblazer for life. You may have to think about it and figure out where you can get better. And if it's blowing it up and trying to start over, you're not gonna rebuild when you have Damian Lillard on your team. You're gonna try to get another guy into it. It's gonna be like the Clippers situation. The Clippers never fully tanked. They just knew where their situation was, and I think you're looking at maybe the same thing. If it's getting off of CJ's contract, I think you got to try to make some moves to improve yourself in other places.
We're catching up with Andrew Lopez, ESPN NBA reporter, former Pelicans beat writer, and Andrew, how is Zion Williamson's rehab going? Do the Pelicans think that there's still a way he might be able to help them challenge for a playoff spot?
I'm not sure if it's challenge for a playoff spot, but they do plan on winning basketball games. I know it's early in the season. I know they're like only 4.5 games out of 8 plays right now, but they do expect Zion back within the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'd say. I think next to Monday would be 7 weeks from his surgery. You know, the original timeline was 6 to 8. Maybe it goes into 8 weeks. Maybe it goes 9. Maybe it goes 10. 10 would put it right after Christmas. But I do think that they're expecting him to play when he gets back, and they're trying to challenge for games. And they're going to also have Derek Favors come back. They missed Derek Favors the last, you know, week and a half or so after his mom passed away. So they're going to try and win basketball games. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get them back into the playoff race, but Zion will be back this season. And I think that's if they just see some sort of growth with him on the court with some of those guys, with Brandon Ingram, with Lonzo Ball, some of those young pieces, that's going to, you know, you can still consider this a win for a season, even if you don't make the playoffs this year at New Orleans.
And final question for you, Andrew, And we really appreciate your time. I mean, I'm looking at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff picture, and I see two teams under 500 right now in the 7 and the 8 spots, and Utah 2 over. How do you see those final two spots shaken out? I know San Antonio and Portland are still hanging around. Do you hold a spot for each of those two teams to get their act together, or do you think there's going to be some new blood at the bottom of that playoff picture?
I think right now it's hard to say Greg Popovich isn't going to make the playoffs because he's just done it so much. So you really don't want to count the Spurs out. You really don't want to count the Trailblazers out. But, I mean, the way Phoenix is playing right now with Rubio, with Monty Williams, who's just done an amazing job out there, he's really kind of unlocked the next level of Devin Booker, I think. It allows Devin Booker to be more of a scorer when you have a guy like Rubio handling it. You know, it does seem like somebody's going to take the place of the Thunder. It seems like somebody's going to take the place of the Warriors. Who does that go to? Right now, I would still think it would be Portland and the Spurs, but you cannot count out Phoenix and what they're doing this year.
Andrew, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Andrew Lopez, NBA reporter for ESPN, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. He likes those Phoenix Suns, Whitey.
You won't listen to me about the Suns. Will you listen to Andrew Lopez?
Nah, probably not.
I know. Andrew Lopez confirming what Charlie, who just called us, mentioned, and that is that GMs around the NBA scared of the Warriors next year.
I mean, how could you not be? How could you not be? I mean, you're going to have Curry and Clay and Draymond Green back. You're going to have D'Angelo Russell back if you want him. You could probably trade D'Angelo Russell for a couple of players that would be in your top eight. You've got the trade exception from the Iguodala deal. You've got a draft pick that you could either make a pick, let's say top 5 to 8.
There's a big difference there, right? I mean, that's where they're on a slippery slope.
Yeah, and look, I think you could make a case that it would make a lot more sense if you're the Warriors to either trade the pick or package the pick with a player to take back a play. The wild card of this whole thing for the Warriors, to me, is the ability to find that mystery star. Maybe not Giannis. I know anytime we get into this conversation, we get flooded with Giannis. Can they get Giannis? How can they get Giannis? Look, Giannis just turned 25 yesterday, and they are 20-3.
Well, they'd love to have him as much as fans would, so they're thinking the same thing, but it's just you can't wish it so.
It just still doesn't seem like it's the most realistic.
Right.
But as Andrew Lopez and others have pointed out, you know, we're in a day and age in the NBA now where every year there's going to be a handful of stars that say, I want out, and I want to go not just out of where I am, but I want to go specifically to X or Y team. And the Warriors could find themselves in a position where somebody that isn't even on the radar right now winds up saying they want to be a part of a championship contending team elsewhere, and the Warriors would have the assets to try and acquire that player.
It's possible that there just isn't that guy this year, right? I mean, who else could it be? Karl Anthony Towns? Devin Booker, Dame Lillard doesn't make sense. I'm not sure there will be that player this year, but if there is, the Warriors would love to be able to jump in on the bidding.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason here, Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. Do you want the pick if you're a Warriors fan, or do you want to try and get a star?
There's a lot to be said for keeping the pick.
But I'm going to throw Giannis out. You can't have Giannis. I'm just going to say you can't have Giannis.
Well, you're just no fun then.
You can't have Giannis.
No fun.
But if you can't have Giannis, would you want the draft pick and kind of semi-build for the future? Or do you want to go all in?
How low are we talking about with the pick? I mean, if it's the number one pick, I really want that.
Let's say it's
top three.
Let's say it's four.
Hmm.
Let's say it's four.
This is a big difference between maybe Wiseman and R.J. Hampton, so that makes it tougher. But I just think, given where the Warriors are, and they need at some point to bring in, you talked about new blood in the playoffs, the Warriors need new blood too, and it would be wonderful for them to acquire somebody through the draft who can become their next big star.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
But do they have enough time for the development of that star to fit the window of Steph and Clay and Draymond? That's going to be a big question. We'll throw that around coming up. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Gary St. Jean will join us at 10:30. Mark Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated at 12:30 as Warriors This Week rolls on here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.